All right, I guess we're ready to get started. Welcome to the Rush Valley Planning Zoning Committee meeting, July 9th, 2025. It's 7:02. For roll call, we've got myself, David Anderson, Scott Hawkins, Carl Wall, Paul Bishop, Kyle Russell. Also present, we have attorney Rob Clegg and Doug Kinsman, engineer, as well as the court reporter, Patty Rowe. I guess that's it for number one.
Yep.
Also, we don't have the recorder. We're doing it on the computer, so make sure we speak up. And
and one person at a time.
Okay, item number two, approval of meeting minutes for June 4th, 2025. Everybody had a chance to review that? Any issues or anything?
I didn't see any. I make a motion that we accept the June minutes as written.
Second. All right, we have a motion to approve last month's minutes from Carl Wall and a second from Kyle Russell. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carried. Item number three, approval of lot line adjustments for Vance Sager Estates. Want to come up? You know the drill. Say your name. And
I'll let you start and then.
Okay. This is something you're well aware of.
Start with your name and address.
Vance Sagers, trustee of the Vance Sagers and Brother Sagers Trust. Desirous to have the property just off Main Street here within the town. It's 16.94, I believe, acres divided, and we think we, through the surveyor, have come up with a solution as to how to meet all of the requirements of the town and still have buildable lots possible within that acreage, and that's what we're hoping to accomplish tonight.
What'd you come up with?
Yeah, any specific questions? So what we did is...
Just make sure you say on record who's speaking.
Yeah, Doug Kinsman with Ensign Engineering. So right here is the original parcel, the one on the upper left-hand corner is the original parcel that was, and that's the parcel number written next to it there. And then in right below that, the little wedge-shaped piece is also the original parcel. Those two, they are not changing. The plan is not to change either one of those parcels. The back parcel, which was essentially an unbuildable parcel anyways, we're going to divide into three parcels with a sliver of that going with the wedge piece down on the bottom. A sliver of it going with the original parcel on the northwest corner, and then the middle piece, which would be the Brother Jerry's, is going to just be the, basically they wanted to have the total of 5.64 acres between the three of them so they could split up the family trust. And that was what they agreed upon, was to get three equal parcels out of that. So it's going to be one parcel together with, and then the middle piece there will just be a parcel by itself. Does that make sense, how I've done that? That way we're not changing the two original parcels. They're grandfathered and were buildable before, and they should still remain buildable. And then this just gives, this sliver will go with that sliver, this sliver will go with that sliver, and then this piece here will go be a parcel by itself. And I think ultimately my understanding is, so this is the original parcel here, and then this is the original parcel here, and then this, of course, was the third parcel. There was three parcels there. The plan is that this parcel here would be, so this back piece is going to be kind of broken into three parcels, but essentially when everything's said and done, there's still only going to be three parcels. Does that make sense? I mean, this will be tax ID, and this will have a new tax ID, but these two will be together with, and these two will be together with, and then this will be a parcel by itself. So none of these three parcels will be buildable. this will be buildable and this will be buildable because they're not changing. Does that make sense?
Because these were the originals.
Yes, those two are the originals, yes.
Can I bring something up? Mike Zagers, 314 West Center Street, Rush Valley. Originally in 1986 or 87, there was a town plot map. Cecil Arthur had it. There were 1 acre lots all the way from his original house that went all the way to McCormick Corner. 1 acre lots all the way down through there that were grandfathered in. Does anybody know what happened to that map? Because we're fighting all this, and apparently the old timers set this aside. And the reason I know this, Roger Evans went through the same thing when he was building the house where Perkins has lived. Cecil Arthur came to the planning mission with him, set the map down, and showed everybody. So if you, as a town planning and zoning commission, don't have access to that map, maybe we ought to try to find it. Yeah. And I think that's the map that you referred to when Mrs. Long brought it in. 1886 or 87 was the year. And it showed all them 1 acre lots from where Cease Arthur's original house was by the log cabin all the way to the McCormick Corner. I don't know if you guys know McCormick. You're all newbies. Kyle probably should.
No.
That's where Clint Sayers' house is, the original McCormick place. Showed 1 acre lots all the way. Okay.
But these are already, we've determined, yeah, we're grandfathered in anyway.
Yes, those two parcels are, yes.
But I just thought I should make you aware of that for the future. Somebody else won't do this. If they was to find that map, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it changed since that map. Grandfathered in is what they're already at.
Right.
Well, if it was grandfathered in, you can't change the grandfather, can you?
If you change the parcel, you can.
Okay.
That's what, if the parcel changes from that 18 whatever map, then yes.
Okay.
Then it loses its grandfather. That's why we're trying not to.
Okay.
That's why we're trying to do what we're doing here.
I just wanted to bring that up.
We're trying to keep this original parcel and this original.
The only thing I have done is we're a landlocked piece of property. Unless something in here, they put an easement to this piece of property.
And we could do that if we needed to. Because Mike is planning on buying that.
Like I said, that's a landlocked
access. You're absolutely right. Maybe because they'll have access. If I have to give them my piece, I will.
Well, what I can do is I can write an easement to just give access to that, and then it's not landlocked. But the plan is that Mike's going to buy that piece, and then Mike will own this piece, and that piece. And then Curtis is going to keep those.
Fortunately, we can't go off of.
I understand that. I understand that. No, I can write an easement for that. That's not.
Yeah, there has to be a legal easement. We can't.
A legal access.
Yeah, that's
right. Right. No, I can. How wide does a legal access have to be for the town?
30 feet.
I can just write it down to one side and then come over. I'll work with you guys and I'll present it to you. I'll give you a copy of it.
Right. It's just for a fire truck or something if they.
No, you're absolutely right.
I know you're saying they're not going to build on this or anything, but.
But still, you don't want to landlock it.
Don't want to landlock it in there.
Because as much as we'd like to say that this parcel will never leave the family, it might. And so whoever buys it would want to have access.
Yeah. Well, it won't be a buildable. Just make sure it still has to have access.
There's access down that road right there. Not just right there.
Aside from the easement, though, you said these will have different tax numbers?
They will have, because this one's not going to change, and this one's not going to change.
So would that make it more of a subdivision rather than a lot line adjustment?
Or? Well, when I talked to the recorder office about it, he didn't have a problem with it. I'm just telling you what he said.
So if they have different... ID numbers?
It'll be this parcel together with this parcel type. So does that make sense?
Right, but would that make it more of a subdivision rather than a lot line adjustment? Because if it was a lot line, wouldn't they have to each is three parcel numbers instead of.
You're not gaining a new tax ID or anything like that, are you?
Not on these two, no. It'll be back here. There will be, though. Yes.
Okay.
Because though that's all just one tax ID right now. But it's already not buildable, so. Anyway.
Okay.
Was this back lot not grandfathered in?
No.
Right. Okay, I misunderstood from last time.
No, not these are the only two grandfathered lots. And then what they're wanting to do is do boundary line adjustment that we're going to completely get.
We've got two separate meetings going on here. We need to stop having two separate meetings going on.
Excuse me, gentlemen.
We've got one record.
We can't have the recorder recording two different conversations.
If you have a question, I was just pointing.
So this stays buildable?
Yeah, these two are of the original parcels, this one and this one. And this one, I mean, it is two, but it's
0038 and 0020.
Yeah, 0038 and 0020. Yes, those two are original parcels.
Yes. Being buildable, the setbacks and everything will be.
Yeah, you've got 154 feet of frontage there. So.
Now, there was an issue last time we were talking about because the zoning line.
The zoning line is right here, yes.
I'm trying to remember, what was that we were talking about last time? That was the issue with that because we're in two.
The issue was is this is a 5-acre zone and this is a 20-acre zone, and so technically if the property comes in, even, this one already does and it's grandfathered, but because it was we were trying to put three parcels into both zones, it didn't work. That was the issue before. If we could have kept all three parcels in the 5-acre zone, then and maintained 5 acres, then it would have been not a problem.
So again, that goes to my other question. My main concern is if we have different tax ID numbers, we'll have 1, 2, 5 different numbers. Would that be considered a subdivision rather than a lot line adjustment?
Now these bare ones could be considered a subdivision. But the thing is that it ends up, I mean, even if they subdivide it, it means that they can't do anything else with it.
The way Jerry told me is
different owners.
Yeah, the way Jerry told me is he's going to tie this parcel to this parcel, even though this one stays original. This is going to be part of it, and in order for that to be sold separately, there would have to be a subdivision plat. But because Jerry is tying this to that, and this one to that, that they're going to be, even though they're two separate tax IDs, they're going to be tied together, and they're going to be just.
So you can't sell this one
separate from that. That's what Jerry told me he was going to do.
Go ahead, Carl.
So we've got three pieces over here that have the same parcel number.
Well, they do now because the county hasn't, the recorder's office haven't assigned any numbers to them yet. This hasn't officially been done yet.
But
we're coming to
if
you.
They are, then there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
And we've gone from 3 to now 5, and that's a subdivision. So are we doing a lot line adjustment, or are we doing a subdivision?
The way that Jerry explained it to me, and I'm just going to tell you, I'm just repeating what he said, is that this tax ID, even though it'll have a new tax ID assigned to it, will be attached to that. So how do I want to word this? It's like when you have a road through the middle of your property and you have one tax ID, even though the road is technically divided it, it's still one tax ID. That's the way Jerry explained it.
So then how does it go from if they maybe he will keep
the same tax ID number with it. I don't know. He just said that this parcel will be tied to this parcel and this parcel will be tied to this parcel and they won't be able to be sold separately.
This tying things is worrying me.
Well, we've got, I'm just telling you.
I know. But the thing is, I'm telling you that this is what I'm saying is that I think that these two. I mean, as far as like the rest of this lot, these two original lots that are grandfathered in, I think need to just remain unchanged.
Right.
But my understanding is that then they can't be sold separately and things like that, which doesn't sound like the tax IDs are together. That sort of a thing.
So now you're telling me that's changing it.
It's different than what I understood it to be.
So are you saying that 0038 and 0020 are going to get different numbers to them?
No, they shouldn't.
I don't think
those two are out of the
conversation.
Except for, I thought that they were. And then I was starting to get, and so maybe I'm misunderstanding something, but then I can't read it upside down, but it's top
part.
That's
3-8.
We're starting to talk about these two being tied together, and that's scaring me in terms of modifying grandfathered laws.
But they can tie them together.
They can do whatever they want with fences.
With a fence.
Oh, yeah, with their fences, absolutely.
But it's, when it comes down to building and selling,
building,
then we're
selling,
talking
labeling, it's, I mean, because they can trim their lots down in terms of their subdivision, whatever they want to do, just knowing that these aren't buildable lots and there won't be any variances and there won't be any changes or any buildings that can be placed on them based on that.
To your explanation of these possibly getting a new number assigned to them.
That's what I kind of got out.
How would the county or how do we know in the future that that's not a buildable lot? Because in the past we have said if there's a parcel number, it's a buildable lot. So what distinguishes in the future that
if you were to look at your older map, this would be changed, and so that would be the distinguishing factor. Because this was going to have a date stamp of 2025, this change, and you would say, well, that's now different than it was 2024.
But when somebody comes in here and says, I'm going to build on this one, and here's a parcel number,
and you're going to say, but that was done after 2024 or 2026, after what is the magic year? 1987. That was done after 1987, and it wasn't done per a subdivision plat. That would be your answer back to them.
So,
how do we mark for those that don't have the institutional knowledge in the future? Is that what you're referring to?
Exactly. Can we put on the deed? I mean, we could put on the deed that they're non-buildable lots as well. And that would get recorded.
Would that put us on notice in terms of if anybody tried to bring something like that? Somebody brought
and to be honest with you, the only one that would fall under that category is the middle section. Right.
We're supposed to see that.
The other two are going to be right together.
That's part of
the recorded office.
Then yes, we should.
But is that going to be something that we can identify quickly and easily?
Let me put the bees together and run them past Jerry. Maybe that's what I should do. Put the bees together, run them past Jerry, and bring them back to this meeting and make sure that you're all
okay. Maybe Jerry would be okay to make an identifier on lot numbers. Whether or not they're built.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're on the, I would say putting it on
labeled.
The deed
maybe
itself.
Maybe they're labeled as being
built here. Don't they have a history of what's on the property?
That's
what it tells right there.
That's what
yeah,
I mean,
if people are
satisfied,
so we
could also
put
on the deed that it's a non-buildable lot.
You take the word and what it's
built. Yeah, but you're not going to live forever, and that's what they're concerned about, which is a valid concern. As long as Mike's living, there's nobody going to ever be living there. But once Mike passes away,
well, I don't know, 4 years.
Well, you might.
What are we doing in 50 years?
Right. But Carl's bringing up a valid concern is, you know, when Mike's passed away and his kids have got it and they want to do something different with it, you can say, well, that's cool that you want to do that, but
Mike says you couldn't.
But the deed says you can't. If you want, I can put the deeds together and bring them back.
I think this needs to be fleshed out, but I think that we're moving in the direction that everybody understands. But I think that this needs to be fleshed out. My recommendation.
Let me put the deeds together, and we'll schedule another meeting. And if that works with everybody, then I can run them past Jerry. You guys can he can give it what he explained to me, but then you guys can see it and.
Is this something that Jerry could come to the next meeting as well and explain how the numbers are
I could ask
tied
him
together?
To.
Or how
I could
works.
Ask him to.
Is everybody good with 5 lots if 2 of them end up getting deemed non-buildable, correct?
Well, all 3 of them.
Three. Two of them would remain buildable.
Two from
three non-buildable. The two original would be buildable. This would just be a non-buildable attachment or something. I don't know. We can put some language on the deed to say something like that.
And then if in the future somebody acquires all three of these, that collectively would be a buildable lot?
No.
They would have to go through the platting. They would have to go through the platting process to make that a buildable lot. And the only way they could do that, honestly, the only way they could do that is if they could get 5 acres right there, which they can't, because this is the zoning line right there.
And the others are 40.
So if you take this parcel, and that parcel, you do have barely 5 acres there. But if you take these two out of that and put homes right there, that definitely will not be a buildable lot. So, and this right here will not be 40 acres, so it'll never be a buildable. I mean,
we already determined that that was not grandfathered in previously, that original.
Well, I think it was, but it could have been buildable, but these guys aren't interested in anybody building
that. As it is today,
if they
that back lot is buildable as well?
Yes, it really is. Because it's
and then I think that's what we came into the problem is we are now making a non-buildable lot, and per the code book, that's not permitted, if I remember from.
No, we couldn't create another non-conforming lot.
Right. Then make it buildable. That's why I'm saying, so that middle portion right there, if we put on the deed that this is a non-buildable lot, is that I'm asking the town, the planning commission, is that enough? Because what you're saying is they have no intentions of it ever going out of their hands, but they're not going to live forever either.
Right.
So I understand your concern. But also, it won't be grandfathered anymore either.
There's no grandfather.
As soon as this happens, it's no longer grandfathered.
Only two lots of grandfathered.
Yes.
I thought I saw something where we can't make it non-buildable or non-conforming.
I can try to search.
Well, it'll be a non-conforming, and it won't be grandfathered in.
Yeah.
It's
already non-conforming, but as soon as we change it, that even makes it more
non-conforming.
Yeah. But you're saying you don't see...
But right now, it's non-conforming buildable, as is today.
Right.
Yes, once it gets modified.
And you're saying you don't think we can make a non-buildable lot?
I thought I read something, but again, I'm still good with this.
I remember something about
people.
The problem with this is we're trying to get the magic number of 5.64 acres so that we can divide amongst the family members.
So Mike, if that is your desire, to give everybody 5.4 acres, 6 acres.
We really need to have one. It's getting really... We need the public to not be chatting. It's all coming through on my recording, and I can't...
I don't care if it's buildable or non-buildable, but we up front, and then this is just pasture. Is that true? Is that
well, it's flying around it in hay.
Yes.
Water rights. Water rights to go with it.
But I guess my question is, all you want is a fence line, and you to be able to say, this is mine, and this is mine, and this is whoever's.
In the trust, it has to be divided equally and equitably. That means it has to be divided.
So it has to be legal law.
Right.
Well, not just
listen to you say that. I can't see that how that can happen anyway. Because the front piece is going to be worth more than the back piece.
We're not worried about
it. Well, you just commented equitably. Mm-hmm. Well, that changes everything.
Yeah. Well, that's amongst us and the trust.
Okay. Well, that's true. But that's what the trust requires. So if you can't conform to that, then you can't conform to the other.
You can't conform to both at the same time. I don't see how you can do that.
This is the one I was thinking of, is 4.4, non-conforming lots prohibited after adoption of this code. After adoption of this code, no lot having less than the minimum width, depth, and area required in the district in which it is located may be created, nor shall building permits be due for construction on such non-conforming lots created subsequent to adoption of this code.
So the question is if we write on the deed that we know that it's not a buildable lot, does that mean, does that help?
Well, I guess that's my question. Does this say we can't create a non-buildable lot, or just saying we can't build?
I really need your help. I've got all these.
Hey, no, can we not have the side conversations?
We've got another meeting down there that is, I can't transcribe any of this. Then people are mad at me because there's no record.
Looks like according to that, upon the deed is prohibited.
It is what?
Prohibited.
For making a non-conforming lot or non-buildable.
That's what it says. It specifically says, Paul.
Going back to ground one.
That's what it looks
like. Can't bear its PB.
What's that?
Can a variance be made?
I don't know. We have to look into that.
And who can grant that? Is that the council or can the planning commission grant that?
I'll have to look.
I don't think we have the authority to grant variances.
Basically, we're back to the square one if you guys want to try for a zoning change. And then that's about to go through.
We already know the answer to that. That's kind of like, that's less fruitful than what we've been trying, so.
That's why I tried to come up with a brainchild to see if it's close.
Are you happy with that, or does it look up?
Give them the reference.
That's in 4.4. Non-conforming lots prohibited after adoption of code. And it'd probably be a good idea to have everybody look it up, because I know we have a couple different variations of...
My 4.4 is titled non-conforming lots prohibited after adoption of code. I read along with you, I have to say.
So basically what you're saying is we're not going to be able to build a house down there. Is that what you're telling us after we've lived here 189 years?
No.
I just want to ask.
You can build a house on those
lots. Three
lots. You can build a house on all three
change
lots.
Change them right now. If you make a non-conforming lot, it's against the code to create another non-conforming lot.
So right now,
three non-conforming lots.
Three houses could be built.
Yes.
So what did you tell us on the first meeting a year ago?
We did.
You said you can't divide them into three equal pieces. That was always the problem. You can't divide them into three equal pieces. You got the back, and then you've got two smaller lots up against the road.
As soon as you change the size of those, now you push the lot.
Now you've got exactly what the four said you can't do. Four or three non-conforming. And the zoning is the issue. If it wasn't for the zoning, it would be a problem. Because it's a split zoning. Half of it's in 40 acres, half of it's in 5 acres. So that
doesn't change anything with those front two lots.
It does.
Those are still buildable.
Besides, the third one is they don't do anything with it.
Right. So it's changing what you're doing here. Changes the third lot, which conflicts with 4.4.
So you cannot do anything, and I'll say that's your decision. You've got something to build on that lot. You've got to deal with this one.
What's the acreage on what idea? Would I still be able
to get it? There's still 2.54. Is that correct?
So there's no long complete.
That one parcel is 1.7 acres, the other parcel is 1.861 acres. The two front pieces on that side. I think, and they're buildable as they are. The problem is that we're trying to split the ground equally among the three of you, and that's where this whole thing really moves.
I mean, the only thing that holds up the third one, the big one, being buildable is access.
Probably.
There would have to be an easement
granted through one of those,
to get in, to get to the back.
I'd be curious to know if there could be a variance, but that's what we're proposing, but that's the,
that's above my pay grade.
I understand. We have to do it.
So as it sits right now, there's a 1.5 acre lot that's buildable and another little close to 1 mile.
As well as the big one over.
And we have to decide who owns each of those.
Correct.
So I would have to change. The trust requires me to divide things equitably. So I would have to get everyone involved in those three areas to agree. And I think I would suggest your course forward is to divide them equitably, is to assess them differently, where two are property and have the street, and the back one is farm ground, which those are valued differently. They might be equal in value, even though they're way in balance in acreage.
Advise you, but that's also true.
My lawyer is the only master.
It depends on equitably, the way we divide it up, top, bottom, whatever, it's equitably.
So the only other thing, this is up to you guys, of course, we could have Rob looking to see if there's such a thing as a variance for what we're proposing. And if there is, then that's an option, I guess, possibly. Otherwise, back to what you guys have just been talking about, if you have a family determined that me getting, what is it, 14 acres or whatever versus 1.5 and 1.5, and we're all happy with that, that's also something to do with trust.
It'll be 3 of 5 brothers.
And it does say that they can apply to the Planning and Zoning Commission. Now, this ordinance for you, I didn't read the whole thing, but we did just, I'm not sure, it was done in 2022, but I am printing it out. So,
based on that, then, if that's what the ordinance says, like, I haven't had a chance for that.
Yeah, I'll
and,
then,
and so if that's the case, then yeah, we'll put it on the next calendar, and typically, and we can see if it's legal.
Thank you.
Well,
sorry,
we need to do official vote on this then?
Right now, I think that you deny it for right now. Put it back on the calendar. You can table it, I guess. If you have the application for the following adjustment, not yet. That was a
decision.
Yeah, we haven't
applied officially for a line adjustment.
There's nothing to deny, there's nothing to table. I think it's time to move on.
Can I say time for anything?
No. Yes. So for the record, that's it. Said approval of that, but it wasn't applied for.
Okay.
It should have been discussion of a lot line.
That was a typo. So we'll go on to item number 4, public comments.
So we don't need to table or?
There was no application actually applied for, so there's nothing to.
That would be applied to.
We're discussing. We're discussing the agenda item and whether or not anything needs to be approved, denied, or tabled. And nothing was actually applied for, and so there's just no movement. It'll just move on.
Yeah.
So that's what it is.
And you know, in the future, if there's not going to be an approval, we should probably change that to discussion. They never have formally. We don't have an application, but we asked like for a letter. We don't have anything formal from them yet. So.
Well,
were.
I probably wrote a letter. It's requested that we do about
it. We did talk about it. Maybe
second or third time, where we said there's not a formal application. And I said, go ahead and just write us a letter explaining what you want to do. Yeah, we don't have forms for
that. Any public comments? Come on up and state your name and address for the record.
Teresa Hansen. I live at 1845 West 3000 South in Syracuse, Utah. But we, my brother and I...
Wait until... Let's, I have to... We have to do this.
Okay, my dad, Robert Sankers, lived out here all his life, and so he has left us some property, my brother and me. And we, that first field on the north end of town, I can show you. So here's the town. This is Meadow Lane on the Old Mormon Trail. This piece of property.
They all have their books.
On the corner, so it's Robert Sankers. It should be just north of those things.
And so what my son wants to move out here and have a little farm on the south end of that. And so what we would like to do is divide that 85 acres in half between my brother and me so that then my son has some more security about bills going to be ours and not a fight with my mom and his cousins. Okay. So that would just, we'd just do it in half, half of it for my brother, half of it for me.
Yes.
It's a 40.
It's a 40.
And you said it's 80 something?
It's 85 acres. So if you divide it in half, and it'd be 240, two and a half, something like that.
Minor stuff.
Yeah.
So,
do you
have. That one. That's the current one, right?
She needs, is that what we're asking? Yeah.
Joe has a minor subdivision.
Okay.
If you get me another copy of this, I can just give you this. This is the application.
Okay.
And then this is all the requirements for a minor subdivision. Basically, it'd be a nice checklist, and there's things on there.
All right. We will do that. And then the other question I had there, they've had the soil test and the septic system design, which has gone to the county, I guess. And then the next thing will be drilling a well. And then after that, we need to get a building permit, right? Have I got the order?
We'll need to subdivide it in the ownership before we can do it.
Yes. And then I just wanted to ask a question. I thought about building a tiny home or getting a modular home or rules about it, those.
I know they need
homes. We haven't gotten
on tiny homes.
We do have, I think, a modular. If it's a new modular home,
okay.
It's fine. If it's a previously used home that you're moving in, it has to meet the HUD requirements of the date.
Okay.
You know, the new updated HUD things have aluminum wire, stuff like that.
Okay, they're looking at new ones.
New ones.
So, and then we just can pour a slab, cement slab to put that
it's
on.
It's the anchoring points, and the anchoring points would have to go through the engineer on how many and where they would have to get to that.
All right, we will get this back to you and then keep working on the.
And as far as the septic and the well, you do not have to have a building permit from us to do that. That is county and state. And if you want to put your money out at risk doing those prior to the subdivision, that's on you, but we don't have any part of that.
Okay, correct. This one is our first step. Okay.
But those will have to be approved prior to getting the building permit.
Okay.
Like we'll need to see the results, the perp test, and all that stuff.
Yeah. But not of the subdivision.
Okay.
Yeah. So
this just comes to you.
You could get the perp test and the well drilled. All the property anyway.
Okay.
You just want to make sure you put it on the piece of property that when you divide it, it's on that piece.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much then.
And
good to see you.
Yeah,
for the zoning meetings, that needs to be turned in, was it 10 or 14 days that it needs to be turned in to get on the agenda for the next meeting?
It's 15 days. 15 actually.
Days.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
we'll give it back to you.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, any other public comments? All right, item number 5, adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn.
I second that.
Okay, we got a motion from Scotty to adjourn and a second from Carl. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried.
I'm trying to